Welcome to another episode of Talk Nerdy to Me. I have a sci-fi legend on the line with me this morning, Miss Gigi Edgley. How are you?
Talk nerdy to me? Ooh, I didn't know it was that kind of interview. You didn't brief me on that, Troy.
I wanted it to be a surprise.
That's amazing. That's what a cool name.
Thank you. Thank
Ooh,
you.
I'm all blushing and everything now.
All on Twitter. Okay, like I said, you're very steeped in sci-fi, mostly for your character Chiana from Farscape. Can you tell us how you came about auditioning for that character and how you won the role?
Oh, it was amazing. So I've always been a huge fan of Crystal. That I've been like obsessed by it as a kid, you know, ever since the beginning of time. And it's pretty amazing and surreal to think now that I work with this amazing company. You know, the Jim Henson Company is something quite magical and something we've all grown up being inspired by their works, whether it be Kermit or Fraggle Rock or any of the Muppets or The Storyteller or Labyrinth or Dark Crystal. So when I got the audition and I saw the logo, the Jim Henson Company logo on the script, I was like, oh my gosh, this is insane. So it's been a real amazing journey, and I feel like, because it was quite a few years ago now, but it's still very every day. You know, I've been doing the convention circuit for the last 20 years, and it's taken me on so many beautiful adventures. And I'm the biggest fan of the fans. It's opened my eyes to this. It's really cool when you can travel anywhere in the world and meet people that, you know, you've told a story to, and you can debrief on it, and you can celebrate it, and you can break it apart and put it back together again. And I just love these comic cons, so I'm so excited to join you. Can't wait.
And neither can we. I've been hearing rumors for the past couple of years about a Farscape movie. Can you tell us anything about that?
I'm like, hurry up! So last year was the 20th anniversary, and I spoke to Brian Henson and Rodney O'Bannon and Ben Browder and many of the cast and creators. And I said, listen, guys, if you guys are into getting it up and running again, one of the great avenues to follow up is obviously the Comic-Con circuit. And Brian and Rodney were amazing. They're like, okay, so how do we go about this? So we organized a VIP meet and greet at San Diego Comic-Con and a huge panel. We also organized Dragon Con, which we had Dargo there, we had Grazer, we had Crichton, we had myself. It was very cool. And then we had WinterCon as well, which even Claudia Black, good old Erin Sun, joined us. So it was a real celebration last year. And at San Diego Comic Con, the Henson Company had made this beautiful trailer saying, we're not done with Farscape. And they mentioned, both Brian and Rodney, that they've written the new series. They want to shoot, their dream goal would be to shoot it this year in Australia with some original cast members involved. And I'm just sitting on the end of my chair going, what? Huh? Yes! Can I please be in it? So I definitely think we're closer than what we've ever been before, if the actual creators are saying these words. Like, it's very surreal and very cool. I would jump back into Nabari Prime Chiana any day. I love her. She's been a dear friend of mine throughout the years. So yeah, there's definite talk of it, and it's a perfect timing because it seems like everything else is coming back, and the fan base is just ginormous. Like, to be, I still, as I said, go to conventions all over the world, and now because they've re-released it on Amazon, people can watch it, and we've been marathoning it constantly because they're trying to get a gauge, obviously, if there's still excitement for it, and the excitement is overwhelming. So I think we should do it, don't you?
Oh, definitely. And you said series, so are they looking to do a series to test the waters for a movie?
Yeah, well, I mean, series in a way would be, you know, that's what they specifically said at Dragon Con. Brian Henson said it, and also Rockne, and also Dragon Con and WinterCon and San Diego Comic Con. They said there was too many stories to fit into a feature, a full-length feature, which there is, you know, like you look at the Peacekeeper Wars, and it was just, because it ended so abruptly, there was just, it was great that we got it, because we needed it so desperately, but there was so many stories sort of jam-packed in there, and they found that same challenge, you know, when they went to revisit it again. So I'm so excited. I'm just like, hold up, it's time now.
Okay, I got a couple of follow-on questions to that. With them doing a new Farscape, with it being Jim Henson, I got to imagine it's probably going to be very heavily practical effects laden. And I know you've worked on some more recent things with CGI. So can you compare and contrast the practical effects work with the CGI work?
I love them both. When I was shooting Farscape, I was a baby. I was like, you know, 22, I believe, around that age. So I was like, I could barely drive a car, let alone a spaceship. I think I could drive a spaceship better than a car. And you'd walk onto set and to see these beautiful creations that the Creature Shop did. They're just mind blowing, even to the point where when we were, you know, we broke for lunch almost every day, I would try and sneak off to the Creature Shop and eat my meatloaf or my spaghetti bolognese or whatever, quietly watching the creations being made or having a little tour around. And I constantly would find any excuse to try and sneak in there. In the early days, they gave my character like fangs and teeth, and you can actually look it up online. And that was the one time I got to get into the Creature Shop in the audition process. I was like, yes, because before that she was all, 3.5 hours of body paint, which was still amazing, but that was in the makeup department. So when they sent me to the Creature Shop to get my teeth mold, I was like, yes. So they had to stop me talking for long enough to get the mold. That was the real challenge. But and you can actually look it up online. And in the very first makeup test, you see it's a really cool look, but she looks kind of rodent-y. I look kind of a bit odd because it pushes your whole mouth out kind of thing. And it was a cool creature, but they also wanted it to be super sexy as well. And then when I spoke, I would have a kind of lisp. So they were like, I don't know whether Chiana should kind of be speaking like this. And dribbled a little bit too, because, you know, they were hard to, you know, there's a lot going on in the mouth area. So they went, okay, we'll scrap that. And then the second time I got to go into the Creature Shop officially for the character was when they did a mold of my stomach, and they could I sliced my stomach open in taking the stone and pulled out this little disc, which was my brother's lifeline. So I got to go in again for that. So apart from the official times I was invited, I tried to frequent it as much as possible. And then the coolest thing is that a few years ago, Brian and the Sci-Fi Channel invited me to host Jim Henson's Creature Shop Challenge, and that was such a beautiful experience because, as I said before, we've all grown up influenced and inspired by anything Henson. So to open the doors to the Creature Shop and allow people to see inside how things are created, like these creature designers were so talented, they had to design and fabricate and build the animatronics all like in a matter of 3 days, and then bring these creatures out and perform them in front of Brian Henson, Beth Hathaway, and Kirk Thatcher, and, you know, and then sometimes guest judges as well. And I'm like, this to me was so cool to be part of, because I was like, I feel like I'm almost coming from the side of the creature designers because I'm an artist and, you know, actress and whatever else. So it was really beautiful to see the whole process from beginning to end. And As I said to Brian, I said, I couldn't even make a sock puppet in that time, let alone these people coming up with these amazing creations. It was just beautiful. Really beautiful.
You were speaking of the Creature Shop Challenge. That's another show that got canceled long before it should have, because I believe it had really good ratings that first year.
They had great ratings and everything was fantastic. And it's the whole reason why I moved back to the States, because I've been going back and forward for the last 20 years. So a lot of people don't realize that when I'm not playing aliens, I'm doing leading lady stuff in Australia, like on cops and robbers and nurses and, you know, lawyers and whatever. But everyone in the sci-fi world is like, boring. So, but that's been actually my main body of work has been, you know, doing, working with the major network in Australia, doing, you know, the television series and feature films there. So I was working on a show called Rescue Special Ops, which was a big stunt show. And it was just a great drama, but it involved paramedics that, you know, go into tight places where, you know, your normal paramedics aren't trained to go. So it was like rock climbing and abseiling and being blown up and almost drowning. And then I got the audition. I'm like, yes. Everyone's like, are you sure? I'm like, I love this stuff. Because you can't act. You just have to surrender to the situation, you know. It's like, this is the best. So, you know, I've been doing Tricky Business, Rescue Special Ops, and then went on to another show, which is Tricky Business. And then Jim Henson's Creature Shop Challenge popped up. And it was so cool because it brought me back to Los Angeles. And I love this the state so much as well. So I came back and then I said, guys, do you think it's going to go again? And they said, yes, we're very positive it's happening again. So I moved my dog and my cat and my whole life at the time and shipped everyone back over to America. And then we waited for a year and got the phone call saying, oh, yeah, by the way, it's not happening. I'm like, huh?
Well, maybe we'll get lucky and Henson will bring that one back maybe on a different channel.
That would be nice. Yes, let's do that at the same time. Why not?
Yeah, I'm game for that.
It's all part of the journey. You know, I've had a really good run and I'm continuing to do great productions and everything. And that inspired me to work a lot on these beautiful films that were all funded from the fans as well. That we just did this beautiful film called Hashtag, which was a Kickstarter, and we raised over $44,000, and it's now going around the festival circuit, getting huge credits left, right and center, which is super exciting because it's very awesome when you get to work with the big production companies, but when you know, do something from scratch, you know, from your own heart and soul, from, you know, the beginning to the end, it's even more gratifying. You know, you run your business, you know exactly how it feels. So, and the producer and the director are actually at the moment, they've just, I don't know if I'm allowed to, I think there's good news coming with it. I'll get in trouble. I'm good at blurting things out inappropriately. But there's good stuff happening with it and they want to develop it into a full-length feature. So there's lots of beautiful things bubbling. I also do lots of music on the side as well. So we're producing and doing music videos. My brother and I did the Wonderland tour, which was a complete fan-run tour for like 2 years straight almost. And we literally put over the social media, hey, guys, do you want to see us in your backyard, in your lounge room, at a comic con, in a nightclub, at a restaurant? Just contact us over Twitter, and if we get enough interest, we will make sure we're going to come to your town and perform for you. And it wasn't just, oh, we're just going to put on a show. It was like, okay, you guys, we want you to come up on stage. We want you to be part of it. It was about bringing community together and fans and friends and family together and having beautiful moments, because in this life it's so short and we're all hustling and bustling so fast to who knows what, that we have to celebrate each other more, you know, and really enjoy each other. And that's why the comic cons and the Wonderland tour is just very special.
Yeah, on that, you're very well accomplished in ballet, jazz, character dance, everything. So what was it that drew you to acting over all those other performing arts?
Because I never had a place anywhere. I was always, and continue to be very, I don't know if socially awkward's the right thing to say. Everyone's like, what? You seem very vivacious and out there, but it's taken a long, when I was growing up, I didn't really connect with, I had a bit of an interesting, you know, childhood and I didn't know where to put myself. So when I was acting in things and playing dress ups and make believe, I felt strong within myself and it brought me out of my shell and it helped me connect to life. And so really it's, it's been, I've worked really, really hard at it, really hard, and it's a constant hustle. You know how it goes, but I love every minute of it, and I love telling beautiful stories. And I still do lots of things like trapeze and fire spinning and dance projects and music projects, and it's all sort of part of the whole, you know, the entertainment industry. I love every avenue of it, and I think you need to, instead of, you know, when I moved to Los Angeles the first time, I'd have a lot of actor friends, and they're like, we don't know why my agent's not calling. I'm like, well, then make your own projects, tell your own story, get out there, be your own boss, and no one's going to do it for you. You've got to, there's so many cool, we've all got an iPhone, we've all got a Samsung, we've all got a recording device, there's YouTube, there's Hulu, there's Netflix, there's everything. Get up and out there, why not, you know? So I'm all about it, all about the fans, all about telling beautiful stories and going on beautiful adventures. Very blessed.
You mentioned you do a lot of work in Australia also. How is it different being in movies or series in Australia as compared to Hollywood?
I definitely miss the nature aspect. Like if you've gone to Australia, you know it's just so beautiful, like the oceans, everything revolves around the lifestyle, you know, and that lifestyle is a very healthy, very active, you know, it's nature, it's landscape, it's beaches, it's, you know, and people work really hard, but it's surrounded by beauty, whereas Los Angeles is a very intense town, which I still love and adore because it's a constant challenge. But I miss, like, the fresh air, and I miss the constant – it's still a beautiful place, and please don't get me wrong, but there's – Australia is like paradise. But then there's a lot more work opportunities in Los Angeles. So it's kind of – you got to weigh up. it's like kind of like apples and oranges. It's hard to say that they're both amazing places, but there's different – there's definitely different challenges and different excitements about both of the places. And, of course, my family – are there, and I miss them a lot. I've got 7 brothers and sisters, and my partner and I have a 15-month-old little girl, and he's a big sci-fi fanatic as well, and so am I. So we called her first name Sky, middle name Walker. So you guys need to know that we are just as big a geeks as everyone else out there. This isn't like some kind of, you know, this is our actual life.
You're not faking it, yeah.
No, there's no faith. Like, we've committed to giving the poor kid that name. I think it's an awesome name. But see, we go to Comic Cons like almost every weekend, and people, you know, it's like a big family for us. And everyone's like, you know, half the time we're still out going, hey, guys, let's go to this place, or let's adventure here, or let's do this. And they're like, okay, we'd like to go to bed now. Can you please go home? So we've got to show Sky, the tourist attraction. I was like, okay. And then, you know, we've got our lightsaber that we bring with us from, you know, Vader's vault. And we've got, you know, Sky's got all these amazing outfits, and the list goes on. It's ridiculous.
I'm a big comics book guy, and I understand that you are involved with a comic book called Blue Shift. I haven't seen anywhere. So can you tell me about that and where I can maybe pick it up?
Yeah. So I have an eBay store that I distribute really cool things. When we finished Farscape, I went on to work like steadily on other Australian shows, and I had a storage container that I had so many things, from scripts to props to like beautiful mementos to, and I kept this place and for a long time. And then I was like, why am I paying all this money for this storage bit? And I obviously keep the special things to me, right? But so I distribute a lot of stuff at the Comic Cons and also over eBay. But we went to, when I first moved in the early days to Los Angeles, I made a EP and a comic book in Seattle because I was at Emerald City Con. Has it changed its name? You know, the one, the
yes.
Massive one now, Emerald. So I was there and I met a promoter, and he said, oh, look, I do comic books, and you've got a great story, and maybe we could collaborate. So I met with Brian Meredith and we came up with this really cool idea. It's called Blue Shift. So I'll bring a few copies so you can check it out. And we've developed a whole series as well, but then the people working on it got actual proper jobs. Like a lot of my jobs are, you know, I've got the big network jobs, and then a lot of my jobs that I create, you know, we're doing it for the love of it. So people are doing it, you know, out of the goodness of their souls. So it's tricky sometimes to get things made when you have to also pay your bills. Mm-hmm. So I'll bring a couple of the comic book ash cans that we've got. I think you'll dig it.
But they can buy these online also?
Yeah, so I sell them over eBay, and I had a Facebook store, but then the eBay one was going quite well, so I everything sort of through eBay and Comic Cons now.
So how do they find you on eBay?
I've got a link on my website. My website is gigiedgley.com, and I sort of put things out sporadically, so I keep it a bit exciting. Sometimes you'll see, you know, 10 things up there, and then there'll be months with nothing, and then one thing comes out, and then it's all a bit exciting with the auctions and everything.
You've worked on quite a few different genres, different licenses. If you had the ability to be a part of any, you know, licensed product, TV, movies, comic books, whatever, which licensed title would you like to work with?
I love telling stories. So if it's a good, I hunt for good scripts, and you'd be surprised how many nonsense scripts there are out there. Like how often you go home and you turn on the TV and you just look for stuff. You know, and then but you know, you might watch half an hour of television, but most of it's scrolling. There's so much content out there, but very rarely are the series and the films that really rock your soul. So I love, stories of any nature. I veer away from the horror side because I think that this world's crazy enough as it is. So let's just put the good stuff out there. But I totally get that people dig it too. So I'm not, whatever rocks your boat. But I just hunt for good scripts. I'm fascinated with mermaids and fairies and the whimsical and the fantasy. But to be honest with you, if you gave me a good thriller or a good, I wouldn't knock it back. There is something within me that would like to play Tinkerbell at some stage, though.
So if Disney's listening, we just found your next Tinkerbell.
Yeah, that would be nice. I've only got to go up against Julia Roberts. Uh-oh.
Oh. You got amazing. This.
You got this, kid. It's a very cool job, and I've been super blessed. Like, and as I said, it's very interesting because, you know, people go, aren't you freaked out about, you know, when's your next job? And I go, it just works itself out. When you pursue what you love and you keep putting it out there and you work tirelessly to achieve it, the universe or God, Zen, Buddha will do everything to coincide events to make it happen. So I'm a big believer in, you know, pursuing your passion and working like my mum is this beautiful, amazing hippie, and she's like, pursue your passion and follow your bliss and live in the now. And my dad is like a hardcore entrepreneur. He bought Cirque du Soleil, he bought Baryshnikov, Nureyev, he bought Kiss, the rock band, he bought the Moscow Circus, he created, like, he's a really hard working entrepreneur. And he's like, work till you drop, get up and work some more, and then pass out and then work some more. So I've got these two really interesting mentalities mushed into me, and it seemed to be working quite well so far.
That is a pretty good hybrid of personalities.
Right?
Yeah.
Thanks, Mom and Dad. Love you.
Okay, I have one more question. This one's more of a serious note. I ask this of everybody that I interview, so, and I want to see what.
Oh no! Sorry, I'm done. Gotta go. Is that Spielberg calling?
Okay, I just wanted to get your take on this question real quick. You might be able to answer right away, or you might have to think a few seconds. And the question is, cake or pie?
Cake, always cake.
Wow, that was quick. You're actually in the minority. Wow. Most people pick pie.
Why? You've got to eat dessert first. There's no other option. Cake for breakfast, lunch, and tea. Right?
I'm not arguing. No.
What would you do?
I would
You've
have
got
a piece of
time.
both. Don't
That's
make me
me.
pick.
There you go. Don't make me choose. When we were kids, we used to have like a Costco in Australia, but what was it called? I can't even remember the name of it. But it was like one of those stores where you had to have the special card and you get everything like massive. And because my mum owned a health retreat, so she'd constantly try and bring us up on all the hippy dippy stuff. But my sister, one of my sisters and I, she was particularly naughty. She would, because I was smaller than her, she would jam me into the freezer section. That was like you'd have to crawl through the freezer door to get into the freezer section. And she'd make me pass out big chocolate Sara Lee cake, you know, in big slabs. And so while mum was shopping, we'd be just sitting in the freezer, like, and I'd be passing, I would be in the freezer and passing out the cake to her, so just munching on it. And we'd get back and a couple of times she's like, "What's that on your face?" Like, huh? So it's got to be cake.
Well, I wanted to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to answer all our silly little questions. And we're all looking forward to seeing you in April in El Paso Comic Con.
I can't wait to come and see you. Thank you so much. I've been trying to get to you for a while. You know that. I've been stalking you for a while, Troy. And I'm super excited. As I said, I haven't been to your beautiful convention before or anywhere near around that area. So I cannot wait to meet you guys properly and celebrate a beautiful weekend full of fun and lots of love.
Yeah, well, the pleasure's all ours. I'm glad the stars finally aligned.
Woohoo! All right, see you soon.
All right, thank you. Get nerdy with me. Tell me what game that you get on. Is it card or Eve? What kind of class do you play, girl? In an RPG.